Well, we're going to chat more with Karen A. Dahlman about all these incredible things with spirit guides and the Ouija boards, but we'll also take your calls this hour on Coast to Coast AM, so line them up. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Karen A. Dahlman, as we talk about spirit guides and the Ouija board. And we have just tweeted the Creative Visions publications that Karen puts together out to you. So if you're not part of Twitter, sign up for that and get our messages that we send out. Karen, tell us about Creative Visions publications.
Yeah, so it's a publishing house, my publishing house, where I put out books and articles and blogs and YouTube channel, all kinds of information. It's for free on my website to just browse through and look at. But it's all about inspiring ourselves to our greatness. In fact, my work with the Ouija board is not teaching you how to use a Ouija board, although I do that. It's really about helping you see beyond into the unseen dimensions to begin to open up these conversations and connections and realize our loved ones never leave us. Our pets don't leave us. Our pets will stay with us, too. And I do believe in reincarnation, and a lot of the different characters that I've spoken to over the years have talked to me also about the reincarnation process. But listen, this is really cool. Even when somebody reincarnates, there's an element, an aspect of their soul. Remember I mentioned we were multidimensional beings within
sure.
many dimensions? Yes, that residue stays with us, even if they may go move on. So you can always have that conversation going. We are so much more than we've been told. We're so much more than meets the eye. There's such a greatness within ourselves that we just need to open up to it. My whole mission with this work I do is really help people become that, open to that, and become their greatest self and express that within the world.
What are some of the misconceptions about the Ouija board?
Well, what I was saying earlier about my colleague and friend Gene Orlando of the Museum of TalkingBoards.com, he coined a word called Ouija-stitions, which is basically superstitions, but about the Ouija. So basically what happens is if people start creating their own mythology surrounding the board, and this is really attributed to because when you get a Ouija board, there's not too many instructions on it. There were some few that might, in the beginning that said, you know, place the board upon your lap, male, female preferred, you know, ask questions one at a time, not to confuse it. And it was kind of left open. And that's the mysterious, mystique nature of the board. They really marketed it really well for that reason. So people start creating their own stories around, their own superstitions, their own filters, their own beliefs get projected on the board. And it's probably one of the all-time tools to use that gets the most negative rap or the most of the projections about it. For some reason, people can go and do paranormal investigations and use a recorder or a Frank's box or obelisk, but they can't use a Ouija board. So it's just, you have to remember, you are the ones that's drawing the energy to you. You're the ones that has the ability to, because you come from spirit, to communicate with those that are in another dimension. You are multidimensional. We got to keep remembering that. So it gets a rap that people project all their fears upon it. It has a little ominous look to it, and it's mysterious. And by the way, when it first came out, the spiritualist movement snagged it up and used it to talk to the deceased. And that's kind of scary for people because we don't know where we go when we die unless these stories that I'm sharing today and other people, other guests have talked about this on your show. It's like, Daniel Brinkley has been there and a few others have too. But do we really, really, really know until you're fully there? And I can only tell you what I'm getting back from people that are there now in their spirit form. But yet it's still mysterious. And so I think that scares a lot of people and it makes us think about our own mortality.
Have you ever had a bad Ouija board experience, personally?
Never, no. When I was new at using it at younger age, I remember one time, and this was 1986, so I've been using it at that point for 13 years. I was in college, so I was just starting to get better at using it, not from a kid's perspective, but more from an adult, young adult perspective. And I remember one time I was using the board with one of my brothers, and some energy came through and just started cussing. It's like, that's not. I'm not going to put up with that. I don't let people cuss to me in real life, here when I'm walking around.
Right,
so
right.
I always tell people, if you get anything that's, less than treating you with respect, you just stop. You put it away. Because it's truly what's happening is you're bringing that to it through your own fears or just through your own energy. It takes a while. People say, well, how do you use the Ouija board? I go, first of all, develop yourself away from any of these tools. What do I mean by that? I mean, get centered in yourself. learn to work with light, learn to work with energies such as maybe Reiki or light healing. Learn about your own skeletons in the closets, your own fears. Learn to accept yourself. Learn to love yourself. When you get to that vibration where you feel like you're in a state of joy, a love, interest, excitement, that's the vibration you're going to be bring through. So that's really where it starts. It starts by working on yourself first. Then you can pick up these tools, and then you're going to find you're going to have great success with them.
Let's go to the phones. Let's start by going to Joe in Monterey, California. Welcome to the show. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Thank you, George.
Thank you.
Karen, you're wonderful.
Hi, Joe. Thank you.
I do all kinds of healing work. One of the things I do is sometimes intuitive body work. And now and then I call upon help, if you will, for the energy and for guidance. Sometimes I call on deities and arch-deities. They work through me. One time a female arch-deity worked through me, and the energy was so incredible. It was so incredible. People can do things with assistance, or they could do it on their own in their higher self, but they can call on their guide or angels to work through them, and that's another form of channeling that I don't think you've talked about.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Joe. You're right. I think I might have skipped over that, but you know what? You bring up a great point, because you have to ask and invite. Nobody's going to interfere with you. Nobody's going to live your life for you, and even your guides and angels and what you're working with, Joe, as well. So you call them in, and that's true. You have to get permission, and when you get that permission, that's when the connections happen, even with those in the afterlife as well. So what the guides always say to me, and that's who I call, and that's who I talk to every single time on the board, and now we do all of our work off the board, and my readings are with the guides. And so what they said is, they said this to one of my clients once, we don't prepare the path for you. Instead, we help you. We help prepare you for the path. It's really us that has to do the work. So I'm so glad you brought that up, Joe, because the other piece you brought up, too, is that you feel this unconditional, loving, wonderful feeling. It's almost like selfish to channel, because when you're channeling at this level, and that's how you know it's good, you're filled with love. And you walk away that much better, and you actually start developing your skills even that much more, because it's in this space of love where all this work is done.
East of the Rockies, Dora's with us now in Jersey City, New Jersey. Hello, Dora.
Hello, George. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, Dora.
This about the Ouija board. Okay, I want to tell you, see, in Cuba, we know about Ouija board, but nobody in my family, there are many medium, very powerful, but nobody ever used that to call a ghost or identity, nobody. So now I am condensing now. We play with the Ouija board in Cuba. That was all the children. Okay, remember I told before, I rent two places in Hollywood. The next one got to do with Presley, but I didn't know when I rent the place. Okay, now I go to the storage. Was in 72 I rented, and the house in 76. So I got the two. I can be near the storage. So one day I walk across Paramount Studio is the storage. And it's an alley there. And I found a large, large Ouija board. I say, oh, look at that. Oh, I'm going to take it to the storage. So I found a hairboard Victorian for a bed. I say, good, I'm going to paint in red, and I take it to the storage. Okay, I took the hairboard and the Ouija board. But because I believe I live in West Los Angeles at that time, so I have to leave it on top of a table. And I went there. Maybe I come back in a month to the storage. When I come back, I got a lot of notes in my notebook from Paramount people and the neighborhood. Oh, my God. Dora, be careful. A Ouija board, you got on top of the table. Don't touch that thing.
Huh.
I didn't know people were so scared in America.
A lot of people in America are afraid of it, Dora.
Oh, my God. I didn't know. Okay. Ouija board never did nothing to me. My body attract, I suppose, my yin. I'm going to finish now. My yings from my family, my grandfather, top commander, Navy commander, powerful medium.
From Cuba?
My grandmother, I believe, was a gift from them. I hope you understood my English. Thank
Not
you
bad,
very much.
Dora. Not bad. You're getting better, as a matter of fact. Karen, what'd you
Thank
think?
Thank you, Dora. Well, I think that's an interesting story, too. I mean, she had the four. She found it. She put it away, and people were afraid of it. She's like, well, why are they? I mean, she comes from a gifted family. I, too, and I found this out more recently. I love the story she shared because there is this ancestral thing, genetic, if you will, or DNA, or just the
that
fact
could be.
Around that.
Sure.
You know, she said her, what was it, her grandfather was this great medium, so, and I have that in my family, too, so it's really cool to hear that.
Next up, let's go to Barry in Rock Hills, South Carolina. Hey, Barry.
I must be on the front row. Hello, George, old buddy, old pal, old friend of mine.
Well, hello there. Every time you say that, I want $20 from you.
No, it's all the way around.
Not anymore. My attorneys have taken over.
I told the boys on WBT this morning that story, and they just loved it.
It's a great story.
Anyway, I've got a cute little, not cute at all, terrifying Ouija board experience.
Oh, really? What happened?
Well, real quick first, I was just telling Gina, she said, boy, Barry, that alligator story you told last Friday night on Open Lines was fascinating. And it was, I was scared to death of that alligator. I knew it was going to eat me. And anyway, but yes, my Ouija board story, it was 55 years ago, approximately 1966, 67. My wife and I was going to college, and we had a couple over one Friday night, and sure enough, they had the Ouija board with them. And I felt a little uneasy when we first played it, George, but no big deal. Well, about a month later, they were over again, and they had the Ouija board. Well, I started feeling real creepy, George, during that thing. And by the time we played it the third time, I was scared to death of that thing, George, and I swore off right then. I didn't ever want to see another board, and that's been 55 years ago, and I've never been in the presence of one.
Karen, what do you think of that?
Well, I think a lot of people do have their feelings and uneasiness around this tool. There's a lot of projections upon it, and we hear a lot of stories about it. And so that does affect us. And also, when I talk to people about using this tool, I say don't use the word play, because you're not playing, and you're not messing around. And I say if you use it seriously, and that you know that's how I use it, George, if you use it seriously with the intention set, with the light around you, with love in your heart, you're going to be met with that as well. And so I get it. People, you don't know how to use this tool. And so they get these experiences that kind of freak them out. So I've heard stories like that.
Well, you've brought up something interesting here, Karen. If for some reason they're not using the Ouija board properly, would you admit that it's possible that some bad spirits can come through?
It's not the board. It's the board does nothing. It's ourselves. And so I would say just develop yourself more. Don't have fear when you approach it and really work on, again, your internal. I always say, this is what I say, George, drop your baggage at the door if you're going to do this work. Set it aside. You've got to step out of that and step into a greater sense of yourself, like that there's possibilities. I can reach my guides. Like Joe, one of our first callers, was saying, I can reach the angelic realm. And then come to it with that intention, and that's where you are met with better results. And actually good results.
Next up, we go to Jeremy in North Dakota. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jeremy. Go ahead.
Thank you, George. And Karen, I have a question. 17 years ago, I was in a terrible car accident. I immediately was in a coma for 2.5 months. Is that a form of channeling?
Well, I got to tell you, I can't answer that like medically, but what I can tell you is, you know, like you came back from the coma. Some people go into those spaces and hear and see everything or experience other beings, and that would be a form of channeling, getting those messages and bringing them back to us. So did you experience any when you were in that coma? Did you hear what was going on or see things, or did you feel like you had some kind of presence with you?
Yeah, I was walking up a mountain trail with my now ex-wife, and some boulders started falling down the mountain, and I pushed her into the crevice along the trail, and I was knocked off a huge cliff. And on my way down to the ground, I heard a voice said, "Your tasks are not done yet."
Hmm.
And I hit the ground and woke up in my bed at the hospital.
That's beautiful. I mean, that's what happened. I mean, you had a moment of channeling a being that spoke to you. You know, a lot of people might call that the voice of God, or they might say it was Jesus, or they might say it was an angel or something. Everybody has a different experience. But, yeah, I would say that you came back to tell us the story. That's you channeling that gift to us.
When people try to get a hold of you, Karen, what's the percent of good Ouija board stories as opposed to bad ones?
Well, I would say now it's probably about 95 to 98 positive.
Really? That's huge.
Yes. Seriously. Since I've been out there talking about it, people are starting to have more positive experiences. And I think it's more acceptable to try to use the board than it was even when I first started talking on your show about 10 years ago. It's really shifted. And I will get people that write to me and tell me their stories. And of course, I listen because everybody has their own experience. But if they want, if they're here to talk to me to learn how to have the better experiences like I have every time, then I help them do that. But, yeah, it's really incredible. People use this tool and reach out to me. They don't necessarily tell everybody else, George, they're using this tool. And I say to them, it's your own secret. You don't have to tell the world what you're doing. This is for you to do, maybe privately. Because sometimes there are these, you know, weird stereotypes about using or stigmas.
Can an individual use a Ouija board, or do you need two people to hold the planchette?
Well, okay, so an individual can use it. That's the easy answer. What I say to people that are first using it, it's going to be really difficult for the most part. Not for everybody. There's no, you know, set rules. But it's a lot easier to get the planchette flowing if you have another person there with you, because it's hard to find that subtle energy that moves. It's easier when somebody else has their hands in the planchette, because you think, oh, they're moving it, they're thinking you're moving it, and therefore it starts to move. By yourself, you've got to lock into that energy. I can do it. But I didn't start using the tool by myself till after 39 years of using this board, because I thought I was going to follow the instructions, which said sit with a partner on your lap, male, female preferred. Yeah, so, but you can use alone. I tell people, though, when you're new at it or young, no, I don't recommend it, because I don't want you to get obsessed with it. People do get obsessed with this tool, like they do with any tool. Once you make these contacts, and sometimes it's like you start to rely on it too much, and that's the one thing the guides, they always tell me, they say, look, don't even rely on our messages. Don't rely on what we're telling you. Use it to augment what you already are learning. They said you came here in person. They're channeling through me a little bit right now. They're saying you came here in person to be a human being. Be that first and foremost. But yet, don't forget your spiritual self.
Were you ever reluctant to use a Ouija board in the beginning?
No, never. I always, because you know what, it was, again, it was like my lifeline. I felt like it was I called it my cosmic telephone to the other dimensions. I could speak to any kind of being. And so it was very interesting to me, and I wanted to learn about, you know, who was Daki? What was that about? What are these powers? What's these abilities I had to see the auras and past lives? And I was learning all about the afterlife when I first started using this tool, even at the age of 8. You know,
Karen,
8 till about,
we're going to come back and take final calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Karen Dahlman, our final segment. Her website is her name, Karen A. Dahlman, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And your books that you have available, Karen, can people get them readily?
Yeah, they can. I highly recommend you go to Amazon.com, because we have them in paperback and Kindle. We have that option. So just check me out there on Amazon and go right there, and that's where you can find my book.
Have we ever had a spirit guide that didn't want to help us?
That's a funny question. I've never been asked that before. The spirit guide's purpose is to help us. So that's all they know. It's like an unconditional love. That's the root of what they are. They're unconditionally loving beings. If anybody at that level is a spirit guide. Now, you can have the humans that have passed over to be spirit guides. I work directly with ethereal beings who have never been in a body, a body of like a human body.
Yeah.
They've always been souls, and they're extension of source wisdom. So they're light beings, and that's who I work with.
Let's go to the phones again. Let's go to Joan in Normal, Illinois, to get our segment started. Hello, Joan. Welcome.
Hi. Originally from St. Louis, but I'm in Normal now.
Well, good.
But anything but normal tonight. when you're talking about the spirit board, I was in my bed with the radio on and, you know, in the dark. And I have a very special paperweight with Jesus on it. And it was painted by a young artist, Akiana Komarek, who painted Jesus when she was 9 years old. Well, all of a sudden, this paperweight fell off the shelf and went under my bed. And it's a good few feet away from my bed, and I wasn't touching it. So I was wondering, what does that mean when Jesus comes flying across the room? Is that good or bad?
Well, Joan, let me ask you, how did you feel about it in the moment when it happened? What was your take on it?
Well, I was shocked. Although this week I have been ill with migraine, and I think of that Bible verse where the woman touched his robe and was healed, and I was like, gosh, sure. I wonder if something like that could really happen.
Beautiful. That's what's important. It's not important what I think, it's what you think, because it obviously got your attention. You said it moved on its own volition. It's kind of like that apple story I told earlier, and that really touched me. And as long as it touches you, it's a positive thing, and it sounds like it did. And it's making you think about healing. That's beautiful.
I wonder what forces are out there, Karen, that make things like that happen. Is it her or something else?
You know, there's theories here, right? Could it be psychokinesis? Could it be our own abilities moving these things because we want them to move? I'm not opposed to that. That's pretty cool if you could do those things. Or is it, like in my case, it was Cher. And in Joan's case, is it a spirit guide? Is it an angel? Is it Jesus? Is it Source that's coming through to remind her of something? We have to have these own dialogues with ourselves to get to the root of it. But what I've learned in the work I do is never really pinpoint it or pigeonhole it. Allow it to keep transforming. What I mean by that, so this item, this icon fell off and it got her attention enough to call us and then to remind her that she's working on healing herself. That could be enough as it is, but let's see what the next story is. Maybe it reminds her to call a certain doctor or to take a certain supplement. You see, it's a story. It's an ongoing story, and the unseen dimensions are spirit guides. Source wants to work with us and invite itself in. So I would ask her to invite in her angels, her guides who are there to help her, because obviously it has something to do with what we're talking about tonight.
Do you ever have to cloak yourself in, you know, light or anything like that to fight off anything?
No, but I'll tell you what I do is I've learned this at a very young age. It's always I put light with – it's my intentions I state, but I learned probably when I was trained to be a therapist, I learned more about working with my visualization and also working with light energy. And so I always put that around me when I do any kind of work, when I'm going through the unseen dimensions. But I use that light energy even if I'm driving in my car or I'm going on a trip or I'm with friends. I just want to have that extra protection. And so I call in the guide. I put the light around myself. I can visualize it. I can see it. It's a literal, real light. Now, I will say this. When I was younger, because I was open to a lot of things, I would get to the point where I had to say, okay, the bedroom's off limit, I need to sleep. And it wasn't like it was bad things, it was that I was so open, and it was like different beings wanted to communicate with me or be around me. And so I've just learned to, that's my sacred space, we don't cross that, and that's how I work now. And I'm just used to doing that, it's been such a long time.
Let's go to Jeff in Arlington, Texas. Welcome to the program. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, sure thing. Karen. You're very welcome.
Hello.
Oh, cool. I just saw a shooting star. I'm outside in Arlington, Texas. So I really love the fact that you say we can channel and connect with spirit through art. I myself am an artist.
Mm.
And I have a brief story and a quick question to tie into that.
Okay.
When I was in college, I took a class on conceptual art. And the assignment we were given where it was to create a piece of art using found objects that transcends time. And I was so mind-boggled by this assignment that I couldn't figure out what I was going to do. This also ties into Ouija boards, because at the last minute, something spirit tells me, make a Ouija board. It can transcend time. So I did. I found a large piece of square cardboard. I used a shot glass for a planchette, and I took a pencil and a Sharpie marker, and I created a very beautiful Ouija board. I took it to class. One of my classmates asked me what it was. She was European, and she wasn't familiar. I said, it was a Ouija board. She said, well, what does it do? I said, it connects with the spirit. She said, how does it work? I said, well, I'll show you. I said, put your hand on the shot glass. And she did. And I said, ask a question. She says, well, I don't know what to ask. I said, ask a question I don't know the answer to. And she said a simple question. She said, okay, when's my birthday? And sure enough, the shot glass began slowly moving, spelled out December 29th. I looked at her. I said, is that your birthday? She said, yes. And she was so astonished. I'm so glad that you said again that we connect with spirit through art, because that's why I feel that I can connect with spirit. Sometimes I go back and look at my art, and I don't even realize how I did something. I feel like I'm, inspired, right, through spirit to create. You know, I always say I paint what the spirit tells me. Now, my question is, I feel that I'm this close to knowing my spirit guides, but I don't know their names, how they look, who they are. What advice do you have for me as an artist in order to try to answer those questions?
Well, first of all, I want to say what a wonderful story. And people do get exact stuff like you got. That's not so uncommon. It happens from time to time. And I love the fact that you chose a spirit board, talking board, to transcend time, because there is no sense of time in the other dimensions, and it really does transcend time when you use it. You're really the one transcending time. So when it comes to spirit guides, don't get caught up in the name. Everybody wants to know, what's the name? What's the name? They come to me and ask my spirit guides, what's the name? Once in a while, I get some names, but for the most part, they say the name doesn't matter. And that, here, they want to talk to you. The name doesn't matter. What matters is how you're left feeling. What do you know? What do you feel? Don't we inspire you to paint beautiful art? Don't we inspire you through ideas and excitement that brings to your life? That is what matters. It's how we come to you and channel through you and touch you. That is what you need to know. So what I'm getting from that is really get to know them better through the feelings. And by the way, when you get in the zone, everybody talks about getting in the zone with something like art, you lose track of time. That is channeling. That is channeling. So you're doing it, my friend, and they're there with you. I can feel the energy. They're speaking. Don't worry about the name. It will come if you're supposed to have a name. My guides don't have a name, never had a name. I just called them the Sun and Moon because they entered the board that way back in 1994. Now, I've called them the guides now because I learned that they're a collective of ethereal light beings, and they don't have names. They really don't have names, so I don't get caught up in that. I work with the message. So I recommend you do that, Jeff, and it will become more clear to you because you're right there on the cusp of it.
Let's go to Eric in Ocean Shores, Washington, west of the Rockies. Get you in here, Eric. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Hi. Good, Eric. Thank you.
Hi, Eric.
Hi. I just want to say that I wanted to wish you both love and happiness and compassion.
Well, thank you.
And the light of the love of all.
Very kind of you.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you.
And I wanted to say that I think everybody has the ability to meditate. The last guy, a couple guys back that was on, talking about, you know, how you could meditate and try to, you know, throw out good vibes for everybody. And I just want to say that I want to ask you a question. Do you think that psychic ability is also connected to your own electrical frequency modulation system?
Interesting question.
I absolutely do. I do. I absolutely do. And it's natural. We are electromagnetic frequency individuals. We're always these atoms and protons and neurons bouncing around. We are electric. And I really think we live in an electric universe. And that's, we tap into that, use that field, that force field, if you will, the force, we'll just call it the force. And you use that to read into the energy. So I absolutely 100% agree with you. And by the way, my new book I'm going to be writing up is about more of the electric universe and what you're talking about. Well said, Eric, and I really appreciate your thoughts of kindness towards both George and I. That goes a long ways.
We've got Kim in San Diego, first-time caller. Hello, Kim.
Hello, George. Greetings, Karen. How are you folks tonight?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Wonderful, Kim. Hi.
Hi. Well, I'm 65, and this is my first time speaking to you folks, and I would like to send love and greetings and blessings out to a very close friend of yours, George, David Politis.
Oh, he's a good guy.
Oh, awesome, man. I try so hard to, you know, help him when I watch his YouTube and listen to the letters and some of the negativity and the hateful things that people put out towards him. And it's like I try to strengthen him. I don't have half of the experience or anything that this man has, and he offers so much to all of us, and he has brought so much to my mind in regards to a lot of these vanishings and disappearances of people. And I would love to be able to be on board with him to help solve it. And I do believe in Bigfoot, and I do believe that it's a humanoid. I don't believe it's an ape. I really think that's stupid. No offense to anybody. But I really do believe there is some unique force out there. I am in a unique situation here, and I have always felt protected. I can't explain it. It's been there's been an intuitiveness. My son has it, too. My grandmother had experienced it. Her family was Iroquois Seneca from Western New York. And her mother, that was on her father's side, and her mother was French, Canadian, Scotch, Irish, and Holland Dutch. But then she married my grandfather, and that side of the family is very strong. I have a cousin who's a reverend up there with the Healing Center out of Lilydale, and she sent me a pendulum, and I have tried to get into using the pendulum. I've only had experience with a Ouija board one time in my life, and I was much, much younger. It really didn't do anything for me. It was just...
Was it a bad experience?
No, I was probably in sixth grade, and, you know, we were at a sleepover, and a bunch of us were giggling, you know, putting our knees together. You had to make sure that the knees were together and everything. You didn't move. You just lightly touched the planchette, and it, you know, moved around. Of course, it did move. I don't even remember everything that happened. We laughed. We were all, you know, ha-ha, oh, this is great. But I learned down the line that, you know, if you don't know what you're doing with something, don't go there.
Well, that's a good point. We've only got about 40 seconds left, Karen. Assuming you're talking to a crowd of Ouija board haters, what would you say to them in 30 seconds?
Well, what I would say is this. Here's a message that came through the Ouija board from my guide, and they want me to tell you this. It's about wisdom. They would say, wisdom is universal and will have truth for all time. If something is only true for one generation or group, it is neither truth nor wisdom. That is why I focus on the Ouija board, is getting messages like that from my guides.
Karen, thanks again. Keep in touch with us, okay?
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute joy.
Karen A. Dahlman, website all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And she loves the Ouija board. I tell you, I'm still a little skittish of that thing. But who knows? Maybe it's the individual. For Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.